Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes. Need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And please, just a reminder, as always, like, rate, review, subscribe the show, all of those good things. Make sure we get it out to as many people as possible. By the way, I do this myself. I watch a lot of things on YouTube. Comedy specials, sports content, a hodgepodge of things. And if I like it, I hit the thumbs up button. And that supports the show. In fact, some of the shows explicitly call for that. And it's just easy to not think about it, that this actually impacts the content creator. And guess what? I see those likes. And I see those comments, and I appreciate them. I will respond to comments. If I have a response, I'll at least like the comment, even if I don't necessarily like what the comment is saying. I like that people are commenting, so I will comment, or I will like it at the very least. So I appreciate if you guys could do that. That just helps to support the show. And of course, if you use me as your realtor, that's the ultimate way to support the show as well, and to recommend that other people use me as their realtor. Which, by the way, we still have the Zillow review contest going on. And I just want to clarify, I had forgotten about this. It's a funny quirk about the internet right now. I've done these sorts of contests before, not with Zillow reviews, but a contest where I'm giving out a gift card. And so in this case, I'm going to be giving out a gift card to one random person that leaves a Zillow review for me. It'll be a $250 Amazon gift card. And I had forgotten from past times that I've done this, that doing these sorts of giveaways, it attracts people that I don't know, that from other areas, that are just looking to get free things. And I've had multiple people reach out to me that I have no idea who they are. One of them said that that he was from another country and said that in his country he can't use Amazon gift cards, but he had left me a review. He screenshotted it and all of that, and asked if I could provide some other sort of payment. And the short answer is no. If you're someone that I don't know, I don't want a review from you. Like, that's not a real review. But more to the point, Zillow is not going to accept the review. They only accept reviews if they can reasonably tie the person to a transaction that I've been involved with. And Zillow has access to all of that information. So this is just for my clients, past clients, current clients only. If you're from really any area, it doesn't matter what area you're from, but if you've not worked with me before, this contest is not for you. Okay. Just move on and find someone else that you can try to win a gift card from. All right. But yes, if you leave a Zillow review, I will take note of it. And I've got a spreadsheet where I'm keeping tally of everyone. We're going to do a random drawing in a week or two, to see who wins. I'll do it live on this show, in a future episode. Today is Monday, September 29th, and this past Saturday, was the year anniversary of Hurricane Helene. And anyone that knows me knows that I am a big fan of looking back at the past and trying to learn from the past. And sometimes there's not even much to learn. Sometimes just memorializing and remembering the past is enough. And so this is an episode where I want to do that. I want to look back a year later at Helene and what it was like for those of you that didn't hear my content that I produced around that time. And for those that did, maybe it'll be a good reminder in some way, shape, or form. And I'll have some thoughts at the end as to the state of Greenville and whatnot in the aftermath of Helene. The past year's been crazy, and Hurricane Helene was crazy, and of course there's been a lot of discussions about, I believe it's a tropical storm right now, Imelda. I believe I pronounced that right. I've not actually heard it pronounced. I've only seen it spelled, which thankfully is doing this thing that all of these Atlantic hurricanes have done so far this year. And at least it appears like it's going to make this sharp eastward turn. And we're all grateful for that. In case you're wondering where to get good content on that, most people by now know about this page, but Mike's weather page, I've been on there since I was an insurance adjuster. The insurance adjuster crowd loves Mike, right? He's a great source of content on these major storms, you know, getting out in front of them before they become named storms, and then after they become a named storm, just providing really great content. And he's just a salt of the earth kind of guy as well. So his main platform is Facebook. He's on all social media platforms that I'm aware of. But the main one to find him on is Facebook. So look up Mike's weather page if you haven't already done that. I did not do that when Hurricane Helene was coming. I had looked a little bit, but here's the thing, okay? Gulf storms never impact Greenville, right? And I say never. Obviously, it's an exaggeration because Helene was a Gulf storm. But I wasn't tracking it that closely because we've had many, many Gulf storms over the years that come up, that impact Louisiana, that impact Florida, that impact Alabama, that impact Georgia. By the time they get to South Carolina, they're so weak. All that they're doing is dumping a bunch of rain, and we might get some 30, 40 mile an hour winds. It's usually kind of cool, you know. It's like you can kind of, you know, you can feel that, okay, this was a powerful storm, but it's already well past the point of having been powerful. So all that we just get is tons and tons of rain. That is the normal thing that happens. In my 21 years of living in Greenville, we had never had a storm that was in the Gulf impact us in any meaningful way. We've had some storms from the Atlantic, right? Because South Carolina is on the Atlantic coast or on the eastern coast. And so it doesn't take much for us to, you know, get a decent sized storm from the Atlantic. But we all know those Gulf storms are the ones that tend to be the worst, right? Those are the ones that historically have wreaked some of the most damaging storms that we've had. It's been, honestly, prior to Helene, it had really been a minute since we had been impacted by a storm. I guess Irma, you know, impacted us a little bit, but it wasn't that bad, right? It wasn't that big of a deal. Nothing compared to Helene. So I was really, really ill-prepared. Which is very unlike me when it comes to this type of stuff. I'm a weather nerd. I have like a whole like weather system at my house that like tracks the air pressure and wind speed and rainfall and all of that. Like I mean, you guys know, if you listen to the show at all, you know I'm a nerd just in general. But when it comes to the weather, I'm really nerdy and I'm usually ahead of the curve when it comes to weather as well. And I was way behind the curve on Helene for all the reasons I've already said. And so it was interesting. The day before Helene hit, I got home. I had a really, really long day and get towards the end of the day. And I'm like, I don't remember how much mileage my truck said. I think it said about 75, 80 miles to empty. I got home and I was just like, I'm too tired to go get gas. I mean, we've got a gas station I could walk to from my house. Now I'm a little bit autistic. And by the way, I don't mean that in a negative sense. I actually am technically on the spectrum, on the very far end of the spectrum, for those that didn't know. But I am a little bit autistic when it comes to, I like to gas up at Costco. I love Costco. I'm a big Costco guy. And when I go to Costco, I pretty much always get gas. That is just my routine. Their pricing is usually very competitive. So I was just kind of like, you know what? I don't feel like going to Costco today and fighting all the crowds and all of that. I don't feel like going to the gas station right up by my house. I'll just gas up tomorrow, right? And Helene wasn't supposed to come directly to Greenville. It was supposed to go west of us. That was really that and a whole lot of other ways. I was completely ill prepared for the storm. We were not prepared in terms of food or in terms of like having chargers and generators, things like that. Just completely ill prepared. And Most people were, right? This came as a surprise to everyone. None of the forecasters were predicting that it would come right over Greenville. And I remember waking up, I actually woke up kind of late on that day. I didn't really have anything in the morning. That was before I was really taking my fitness seriously, since I've been doing that, which has been since November. I get up, you know, I'm still not a morning person, but I get up much earlier. Back then, I was getting up later than I should. Most real estate stuff doesn't happen before 10 a.m. You can get away with it. But again, not a good habit. That was a habit I was in at that point. And I remember getting up, I think probably around like 7:30, 7:45, and just, you know, checking my phone to see, okay, let's see what the storm did. And literally what had been the eye of the storm was literally right over my house right at that moment. And it was like, oh, wow. Okay. This one really swung east. So the first thing I did actually was I looked outside to see, okay, yeah, we've got a few trees down. That kind of goes with the territory. I've got a bunch of trees in my backyard. Then the next thing, once I realized just how much rain we had gotten, I've realized, oh, wait, I need to go downstairs and see if any of my, because I've got a basement home and we've got a creek on our property. And most, a good chunk of my property is in a floodplain. So I was like, wait a minute, if we're getting all of this rain, I need to check to see if any of this is coming to the house. And so I did. We had just a little bit of water coming to the house. Nothing that was going to cause any damage or any mold issues or anything like that. Because we were able to get it up right away and all of that, we're able to air it out. But that was my initial introduction to the hurricane. It was like, okay, so this might change some things, but I didn't know how much it was going to change. And of course, our electricity was already out by that point. That was the other thing. So, okay, no electricity, probably going to have to deal with this for a day or two. What I hadn't really considered was the perfect confluence of events that happened around the hurricane, right? So we had several weeks up to that point of rain at, you know, not just straight through, but just a lot of rain over the course of multiple weeks. And the ground was just saturated. And this is ultimately what really devastated Western North Carolina, which was hit harder than Greenville. But there was just nowhere for the rain to go. And additionally, all of that rain and then all of the rain that Helene brought in, then saturating the ground like that, making the ground very soft, then makes it easier for trees to fall when hurricane force winds hit. Of course, like I already said, those hurricane force winds did in fact hit. Now, I don't believe it was still technically a hurricane by the time it got over Greenville, and certainly not over Western North Carolina, but there were still recorded straight-line wind gusts of over 100 miles per hour. So the equivalent of a powerful hurricane-force winds, not sustained, there were gusts, but that happened. And that caused for so many of these trees to go down. And that first day, you know, the first thing I'm thinking is, okay, I'm going to need to get out and I'm going to need to see, you know, what sort of damage there might be. Because, you know, I saw trees down right away. So I knew that there was a good chance that there was damage to, first off, to my property, right? That's the first thing I checked. No damage to my property, to my home. And then it was like, okay, I've got several listings right now that are all vacant, of course, and many of them that didn't even have owners that were nearby. And so, you know, this is part of the service that a good realtor provides, is to be boots on the ground in these sorts of situations. So it was like, all right, my number one priority here, get out. I need to see what the status is on my listings, because if any of them are damaged, I need to then report that to the owners. We need to really jump on this right away, get trees removed, get, you know, if there's insurance claims that need to be made, get those claims rolling, all that kind of stuff. However, I did not fully comprehend that there'd be issues getting gasoline. And of course there were. And mainly the reason, it wasn't because we were running out of gasoline, right? You know, that can be a thing. But the main thing was that there was no electricity. And guess what? Modern gasoline pumps need electricity in order to operate, in order for payments to be processed, all of that. And so literally, I spent the first day of the storm going around to my listings, not thinking really I should only be focused on refilling my truck. Now, my truck is a hybrid. So if you heard 75 to 80 miles to empty earlier that I said, I have a hybrid F-150. So that typically would get me, that's typically going to stretch out decently far, like further than 75 to 80 miles if you drive correctly or if you drive in an efficient manner. But again, I just wasn't processing. This 75 to 80 miles is going to go very quickly. My listings were spread out all over the place. I had one up by Lake Robinson in Greer. I had one down in Dunedin, completely on the other side of town. I had some others that were on some other side. It was just all spread. Oh yeah, there was another one in Paramount Park. Like, we're talking all spread out all over the place. And I made the mistake of trying to look at all of them first and then quickly realizing I was going by gas stations and seeing people just waiting there. People were just waiting at gas stations that did not have electricity and just hoping that something would happen, I guess. I don't know. But they weren't getting gas. That's all I know. And so I'm running my fuel down, and now I realize, wow, I need to get fuel. And I've told you guys this story before again, but if you didn't hear it when it happened last year, I went around to multiple different gas stations. I finally found some that had power. I had to go on the outskirts of town. Finally found some that had power. Some of them didn't have gas though. Some of them did run out of gas simply because people were kind of panicking. In fact, the mayor had to go on TV and tell people, we have enough gas. Do not panic. There will be enough gas if you guys don't just go crazy and you know, have to fill up a ton of different cans and you know, act like we're about to go into some kind of a world war here. Now, in my case, I was nearly on empty, so I was panicking. And eventually, I found a gas station out near Highway 14 at Pelham. And honestly, again, I had been to a bunch of gas stations and just either the lines weren't moving, huge lines, or the electricity wasn't on, or it was clear that there wasn't gas. People were just hanging out. I got to the point where I could tell if it was a promising gas station or not based on people's body language. Were people actually pumping their vehicles? Did they have a pump in their vehicle and something was happening? Or were they just, did they have their tailgate down? They were just sitting around talking, right? That was kind of the dead giveaway. Well, I finally found this one gas station. The line was long, but it wasn't like outrageous, and people were moving around and the line was moving as well. So I got in line and I'm at like 5 miles to empty at this point. I'd never run it down. In this truck, I've had this truck for a couple years now, and it doesn't have a standard fuel gauge on it. It literally just tells you your miles to empty. And I didn't know, once I hit zero, is that like true zero? Is there still a little bit of flex in there? You know, do they say zero before it's really zero? I didn't know. I really didn't want to take the risk. And in the end, I did end up pulling up to the pump on empty. At least per my truck, and I was able to completely fill my 30-gallon tank, and it just felt like the weight of the world came off of me. But that was just the beginning, because trees were down everywhere. Many of them were these huge old oak trees, right? Interestingly, the real skinny, you know, pine trees and whatnot, they were not as affected, right? And I'm guessing those straight line wind gusts that came through didn't have as much, you know, tree to latch onto. It was those real thick, full trees that ended up getting caught up in the wind and falling over and causing so much damage. I saw people trapped on their streets with no way to get out, at least not by car, right? I saw trees down on houses, trees down on cars. Every one of my listings that I went by was impacted in some way. One of them, we had just gotten under contract. It had a tree fall right on top of it. I had several other instances. Again, every single listing had some sort of a tree down somewhere, some sort of water damage or something that had happened. And so I'm, you know, going by each one, taking pictures, contacting my clients, telling them, hey, here's what happened. Here's how I can help you. Or, you know, if it's an insurance claim, you know, kind of thing. You know, I used to be an insurance adjuster, so I could tell them, you know, if I thought it was potentially worth actually making an insurance claim or not, and speak intelligently to that. Of course, when you have a situation like this, all the insurance companies get backed up, and the insurance adjusters, they will bring in adjusters from all over the country for a storm like this, but they all get backed up too. I worked, when I used to be an insurance adjuster, I worked a hurricane one time, and it was crazy. It was the most insane thing, literally the most insane work I've ever done in my entire life. And I was fully unprepared for it. An insurance adjusting company, not the insurer, but a third-party company, just started sending me claims. And I got so overwhelmed. I'd never done that before. And I finally was just like, I can't take any more of these claims. This is insane. And so that's the kind of stuff that happens. These adjusters get overworked. They're not sleeping at night. They're just working straight through the night on their paperwork and everything. And there's a tremendous amount of paperwork that they have to do. And so, long story short, that was a big part of what I was doing right away in the aftermath of Helene, making sure that my clients, and particularly my listing clients, that everything was good to go for them. I did have some buyer clients as well that were impacted. There was a lot of work, extra work we had to do for them as well. And at the end of the day, those are all things that you can push through, right? These things happen. But what really caught everyone by surprise was the length of time there was no electricity. As I already said, there were literally people on the day after the storm just waiting at gas stations that had no electricity, just thinking, okay, this is going to come back on at some point. The problem is that there are power lines down everywhere. And there were some times where I would go down a road. Some of these listings that I had an insane time getting to, because there would be trees down everywhere. Sometimes there were power lines down. There were some really sketchy situations where, like, I was trying to go around power lines, not knowing, you know, if there was power to those lines, that just all sorts of things. And so we should have all known this is not going to come back on right away. And basically the entire upstate was without electricity. Like, we pulled up the map because Duke Energy, which is the main power company in the upstate, and they're also in other states, by the way, it's a huge company. Duke Power had a map where you could see all the power outages, and it was like thousands. It was utterly insane. Nobody hardly at all had power. And it took the power companies like Duke, like, you know, Greer CPW, Lawrence Electric Co-op, all the various power companies that we have, it took them several days just to assess the damage and what was needed to fix it, right? They couldn't put together a plan for how to fix it. Like, this isn't just a single down power line because someone ran their car into the power line. This is an entire power infrastructure problem, right? The entire infrastructure in terms of the power lines was basically destroyed at all these different points. And so they had to assess and figure all that out before they could even put a plan together for how to fix all this and how to get power back. And of course, it didn't help that many of these areas were blocked by downed trees and the like. Now, for me and for my family, it was about I don't remember the exact number of days, but it was about a week or so that we were without electricity. But for others, my mom, some others, it was 2 to 3 weeks. And as someone who had never been through more than about a day without electricity, I mean, I can't remember ever going for more than a day. Maybe there was some time in my life where we went 2 days without electricity, but certainly not more than that. So this came as a huge system shock for me. And I found myself going to my office a lot. My office is over there by the Haywood Mall, which oddly had electricity the entire time. I have no explanation. Maybe somebody does. I haven't actually tried to figure out why my office had electricity, but it was just like nothing out of the ordinary had happened. Maybe it's that little pocket right there around the mall. There's not a lot of trees, and we just got lucky. But I mean, the mall didn't have power. A lot of the businesses around my office didn't have power. For some reason, my office had power, and that was unbelievable, right? Because they had also had refrigerators, they had ice, microwave ovens, all these things that we desperately need. I mean, ice, it's funny when something like this happens, how certain things become extravagantly more valuable than they normally would. Ice became a huge priority, right? Because so many things were going bad. So the fact that my office just had ice, that, like being able to just get ice, that was like printing money. Every gas station was out of ice. Everything, everywhere, they're all out of ice, right? So I spent a lot of time in the office. It was, you know, I'm grateful for my company that they were very welcoming to, hey, if you want to bring your families here, if you guys want to have parties here, whatever. There was basically no restrictions on that. We were going there to watch Sunday Night Football, to watch Clemson football. Like I said, I would take my family there. We would watch TV, play games, whatever, just to feel normal, right? It was challenging for everyone at the end of the day. It's just, and again, these are first world problems, right? But our entire first world runs on electricity. And so that is an upending of functionally the world order insofar as this is the world that I live in, that my family lives in. And we just had to make do. And of course it was extremely stressful for me. And honestly, on par with COVID, in many ways. And that's because similar to COVID, real estate didn't stop, even though we had no electricity, no internet, et cetera, you know, everything else shut down. Just about every other job wasn't working. But real estate continues on. It does not stop, you know, it didn't stop during COVID. It just doesn't stop. People have to buy and sell homes. And so we just had to make it work despite having limited resources for how to charge our devices. Again, the office was clutch. I would just take all the devices to the office and just plug everything in. But that was just an added stressor because now there's just so much extra planning that has to be done to do normal daily tasks that are either typically automated or just kind of done without thought, right? You don't think about how, like, every second of the day I was thinking about whether my devices were charged. And there was just a mental drain, right? I was needing to be mentally and emotionally charged back up because there was just this mental drain of having to deal with these devices that need to be charged. You know, needing to account for, you know, my kids and they're, you know, they're homeschooled and it's just like, okay, you know, well, we don't have electricity. What do we do? Just, there's just so many different extra things that we had to be thinking about. And it was depleting. And of course, you know, it's like constantly putting everything on low power mode and, you know, trying to coordinate tree removal services at a time when everyone is backed up, trying to meet contractors at you know, at homes, at some of my listings. By the way, I have rental properties as well. I had to check on all of them too. I checked on all of them after I had checked on all of my client stuff, right? That's just, again, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here. But I wanted to make sure that my clients truly came first. And I do think I approached it that way. Also, my rental properties have people in them. So, you know, my hope is that they would contact my property manager and whatever the case may be. And hopefully I wouldn't have to be super, super duper hands-on. But eventually, after I got gasoline, then my next step was, all right, I'm going to go check on all my rental properties. So again, another more and more things that just have to be done. And one thing I would do is I would go out every day in the morning to just check on current conditions, see if see if trees have been removed, see if power lines are being worked on, if I saw Duke Energy anywhere, anyone working on the power lines. And that was honestly discouraging for the first like week, right? Because didn't see a whole lot. And it just took them so long to assess the damage. Honestly, probably, I don't want to judge, but it really felt like it was longer than it should have been before we finally started to see people start to come back on board with power. And the Sunday after the storm, this is something I doubt that I will ever forget. Who knows? I forget a lot of stuff. But the Sunday after the storm, I was driving down Pleasantburg and over not too far from my house. And I drove, again, I'm just scouting out, you know, what's going on, what's the deal here. And Pizza City, which is a great mom and pop, old school, you know, they've been there for forever, New York style pizza place. They had a guy with a sign out saying that they had fresh pizza, cash only, and that you could buy it in there. And it was like, now we're going on, you know, basically day three of not having had a true, like, warm meal. We've been just scrounging things together to try to not be hungry. And so I immediately pulled in there, and basically they didn't have power, but they had gas. And because they had gas, they were able to cook on in their gas ovens. Now all of their toppings had been spoiled, but they had managed to salvage or to source cheese and pepperoni. So they were selling cheese and pepperoni pizzas only for cash because they couldn't process credit card payments without power. So needless to say, I bought a bunch of pizzas for my family, and having a hot meal on that Sunday after multiple days of just trying to, like I said, scrounge things together. That was just such a breath of fresh air. Now, the impact the storm had on the community here in Greenville and the greater Greenville area was noticeable. There was a tremendous amount of anxiety, right? You know, people, just the unknown, right, is the hard thing. And that was a hard thing during COVID. Anytime that there's something like this, like, that's unknown, how long are we going to be without power? How long are these trees going to be down everywhere? It was just very intense. You would see fights break out at gas stations, especially early on. I already said the mayor had to go on TV to tell people to stop fighting, that there was plenty of gas. It was kind of crazy. I think the governor also may have said something to that effect. But there were a lot of good things that I saw in the community as well, right? People helping their neighbors clear debris, people helping transport people whose cars were damaged, people with electricity providing housing to those who didn't have electricity. The Haywood Mall provided parking for these residential pods that construction crews that were coming in from out of state needed in order to live in. And so we saw some of the positive human elements that, you know, we did see, that we've seen at different times, right? I was in New Jersey when 9/11 happened, and I saw a little bit of that around 9/11, that there was a sense of like, hey, we all need to, we all need to band together and help each other out and provide comfort to each other and get along, right? One thing that was cool that I got to be a part of was volunteering to kind of represent the Realtor Relief Foundation, which is a foundation realtors can donate to help those in need. If you're a realtor, highly recommend donating to the Realtor Relief Foundation. It's an ongoing thing. It's not specifically South Carolina. It's something that's done by the National Association of Realtors, and they will donate money to out of the donated money that they receive. They will then donate that to people in need. I believe pretty much 100% of those donations go to people. I've never seen the books, but I don't think the NAR is skimming anything off the top or anything like that. So the state of South Carolina hosted this event that the governor really scrounged up very, very quickly, hosted this event over at Greenville Tech for people that were in need, people that needed financial assistance, people that needed to talk to the Department of Insurance, people that needed to talk to FEMA. So there were, I don't know, close to, I think, 100 different vendors there, private organizations, in addition to all these government organizations as well. And so we, Red Cross, I believe, was there. So we had our own little table there, and a bunch of us that are on the board of directors for the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors, we volunteered to basically assist at that table and to help people sign up, to be able to get grants, that they would just be given, not something that would have to be paid back, but grants that would help them out if they had damage to their home that they could prove, or if they had been displaced from their home and didn't have, you know, enough money to live in a hotel or whatever the case may be. They were able to get money from the Realtor Relief Foundation, and it was really cool to be able to see just and to be a part of people being able to be helped in that way by realtors functionally from all over the country, and then for our little group here in Greenville to be able to, you know, assist them, help them sign up. It was really easy. They made it super simple. You know, you could like scan a QR code and fill out a few things on your phone, and then you apply, and then that was your application. And my understanding was that they were very, very lenient in terms of what they accepted. Like, they didn't turn down a lot of people unless those people just didn't follow the instructions, and the instructions were quite simple. Now, at the end of the day, that those are some of the positive things, but this storm made for a very challenging end of year for many people, and that was definitely the case for me. Now, I don't want to make this about me, because a lot of people had it way, way, way worse. But I can't speak for them. I can only speak for me. And for me, it basically meant no pay for several months, because pretty much all of my closings got delayed. And as I already said, had a ton of problems, like that listing that I'd just gotten under contract that had a tree fall on it. And my headspace wasn't good, right? This was it was just a tough time on multiple levels. And it was just knowing that, wow, I'm now going to have to do a bunch of extra work. And not only that, this work is going to be tremendously difficult, right? Because we're talking about getting to places that were hard to get to. I had one home where there were issues in the foundation. I kept having to go back and crawl in the crawl space for different things. And all of this, knowing that I'm not going to get paid for any of this for, at best, for months, right? Because all of these closings are going to be delayed. And so every day was just a grind, knowing that I had to keep doing everything I could for my clients, but knowing that you know, I wasn't going to get paid any more for the extra work that I was doing. And on the flip side, in some cases, might be paid less, right? If a property that I had listed, for instance, if the seller decided that they weren't going to fix up the property that got, if it got damaged and wanted to relist it just as is, that could mean that, you know, that even my potentially at the end of the day, my pay for helping to sell that property wouldn't be as much as it would have been. So there's just like all of these different things that was challenging, right, for me professionally. And of course, that impacted me personally. So a year later, reflecting back, I still feel, not to be too dramatic, but you can probably tell in my voice, I feel a little bit of PTSD from the storm. And as a result, I have been more aware of the storms forming in the Atlantic. And of course, we haven't had any in the Gulf this year, but I've been tracking every single storm very closely. I'm on Mike's weather page all the time now. I'm on there much more than I am on anything else on Facebook. And again, I'm just immensely grateful that thus far, all of these storms have veered east from the South Carolina coast. Particularly this week, there is a Realtor Political Action Committee event that we have. And for those that don't know, I chair that committee. And we don't have too many of these events. Which, by the way, if you're listening, you're interested in the event, let me know. Be happy to talk to you about, you know, what's going on for that. And you know, what the point of the event is and all of that. But long story short, we have an event on Thursday an oyster roast, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff that we're going to be doing there. And, you know, it was just like, are you kidding me? You know, like a week ago, it was like this storm, which at that time wasn't even, I don't even think it was a named storm yet, but it was like this storm might, of course, impact this one event. We haven't had an event in so many months. We've been planning this for a while now. It was like, please tell me this isn't going to impact this event. Thankfully, it doesn't appear like it's going to. But now I track these storms way more closely to make sure I'm not blindsided. I have a generator now, so I am ready to go if we have something like this again. Of course, you can never be fully prepared, but I'm prepared insofar as I can be personally. And thankfully, it's just been a dry, uneventful storm season for the most part for Greenville. And if you're wondering, if you're not someone that's from around here, this is the norm for us. We don't typically have major storm seasons here in Greenville. Like I said, we were impacted a little bit by Irma, and you know, we've had impacts from other storms in the past. They're typically nothing like this, right? And again, I talked about that perfect confluence of events with all the rain that had come in beforehand, the storm taking a major eastward turn towards Greenville, all these different things that just happened. And just created for a really unique weather event that happened. And I know a lot of people have been turned off to the Carolinas due to Helene. I think that that's kind of a flash in the pan kind of trend. I don't think that that's going to last. But I just want to say this, unless climate change really causes these storms to be more common than they have been in the past. And, you know, we can't rule that out as a possibility. Unless we have some kind of a dramatic impact from climate change, we shouldn't see Helene, a storm like Helene again in my lifetime. Not in Greenville, not in Western North Carolina. Western North Carolina has had something like this happen only two times the past 100 years. And the other time was 100 years ago, pretty much. Greenville, it's the same thing. I mean, to me, this was like a 500-year storm for Greenville. It's just so unusual for storms like this to maintain those straight line wind speeds that far inland. And then you combine that with all that rain, the saturated ground, just everything. It was just a very unusual event. And I'm hoping as well that the trees that fell, that are now gone, that the trees that remain are the stronger trees, right? That is reasonable, right? Typically the trees that fall are the ones that are weak. Or the ones that were more susceptible to wind damage. And so what I'm hoping is that if we have another big, you know, wind event here in the future, hopefully we won't have the trees falling to the extent that we did. And hopefully the infrastructure that was put in place for electrical was done in such a way that is less likely to fall as well, because it was chaos, right? It was utter chaos a year ago with all those trees, power lines down, and everything. Like I said, I am prepared insofar as I can be. I hope I never have to use my generator, but I have it if I need it. And if I ever find myself at the end of the day running low on gas, I am going to stop and get gas, okay? That is a change I have permanently made in my life. I am going to go get gas, even if I'm exhausted at the end of the day. If I only have 70, 80 miles to empty, I'm not going to go into that next day with 70, 80 miles to empty. Not making that mistake again. So a year later, as you can tell, I have a lot of emotions about Helene, a lot of memories. I don't miss it. My daughter actually, she was saying about how she has, my younger daughter has good memories from 2024. And I was like, really? You have good memories from the hurricane and all of that? And she had actually forgotten about it. And I was like, that is a blessing. I wish I could forget. But also, it's good to not forget. And that's why we're doing this episode. There are other things I could have talked about, but I did feel like that this would be something worth looking back on and memorializing a year later. Hopefully we don't have an event like this again. I don't think we will. But if we do, now we know how to handle it. And now I know to keep gas in my truck. That's all for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for watching and for listening. If you're watching, please just hit that little like button. Told you guys, please. That's all I ask. If you're listening, if you can leave a rating or a review, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you got to scroll down a little bit and then you'll see 5 stars and hit the 5-star button. And it says to leave a review as well. I just did that recently for one of my favorite podcasts. So you can do that. That's how you can support the show. Use me as your realtor, right? That's the main way to support the show. My contact information is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. Also, leave the Zillow review as well. If you don't know how to do that, reach out to me. Again, my contact info in the show notes. I'll send you a link, and we will talk again next time.